This is CBS Eye on the World, the Scholar Report with Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm, all continents, exploring the retail space with digital signage. We come now to the signs of the times. BlackRock, the private equity investor, largest in the solar system or near to, has now put a, what I'm told, a limited temporary freeze on withdrawals from its REITs investment. That's commercial real estate. Chris, a very good evening to you. You've watched this for several years now during the pandemic in large cities, New York especially, but I remember our exchange about St. Louis. All large cities were at that time puzzling about when will the workforce come back. This move by BlackRock, is it connected to those empty buildings that continue? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Absolutely. You're seeing now the first bits of what we could call a contagion in that commercial real estate market, which is because more and more people are working from home, because there is less commerce happening in big cities of having people come into work every day. You're seeing whether it be BlackRock and pausing redemptions, the mayor of Washington, D.C. imploring the federal government to send workers back, but the potential collapse in commercial real estate values, as well as the many economic ecosystems around them. If you're coming to work, your ability to go out to lunch, use a dry cleaner, buy something at the shop nearby, hit Starbucks twice a day, all of the ecosystems in these major cities are threatened by people not being back at their offices. And this BlackRock incident is kind of a canary in a coal mine, showing what could be a much greater economic series of waves coming to hit the U.S. in 2023 as commercial real estate values crater. And you see companies like this saying, hey, this is a challenge because we don't necessarily want to provide the liquidity at such low valuations for investors to get out.
As you speak, it reminds me this is a form of supply chain, the supply chain for human beings that has been disrupted by the absence of human beings. I traveled to Washington and late in the year of 21. You've been there more recently. My experience was odd in that from Farragut Square down to the Apple Store, there was no one on the street but me walking around, and there was no one in the restaurants. This was late morning. You've been there more recently. Has Washington returned to more vigor?
Washington still seems to be quite slow. A large number of federal employees are still working remotely, and it's noticeably quieter than it had been before. It is continuing to recover from the pandemic, but you're still nowhere near what pre-pandemic levels were like in terms of people coming into the office.
And the economy. We have some startling headlines these last days and hours. 18,000 layoff at Amazon. I saw especially that hits the Northwest, where Amazon is headquartered. But now we have news from the Wall Street Journal of Bed Bath & Beyond seeking reorganization. These are large retail stories with retail hiring. Is this the fabled recession that is on the way, or is this reorganizing after the pandemic passed and those who enjoyed pandemic attention no longer do?
I would say, John, it's both. It's certainly the onset of the recession. And when you look at an Amazon, when you look at a Bed Bath, those are B2C, so business to consumer. But you've also seen announcements of Salesforce reducing 10% plus or minus of their staff. And that's a B2B use case. So you're seeing not only in the consumer sector weakness and layoffs and adjustments, some of that because they overhired, but some of that because everyone's now setting in for what's going to be probably a relatively aggressive recession. But in the business-to-business sector, which is not consumer-facing at Salesforce, them also saying, hey, time to tighten the belt and be ready to ride out the storm.
Silicon Valley, this story is repeated now routinely. How many layoffs this month? How many layoffs that month? However, at the same time, we have statistics about hiring, very strong hiring, that the Federal Reserve points to as evidence that the inflation has not abated. The most recent number, close to 300,000 estimate of hirings in the private sector. How do these two things go together, Chris? Because the layoffs in Silicon Valley do not seem to dampen the hiring that goes on Main Street.
it's a great question, John, and I think economists and others are trying to search for the truth behind it. If we were to speculate, the guess may be that a lot of the hiring is in second or third jobs for people trying to make ends meet as inflation is hammering everyone. But in the Valley, you're seeing many very well-paid high-end jobs being cut. And then in the labor statistics, many of those being retail jobs or other lower income jobs or lower income rates. It could be second jobs as opposed to unique careers.
And the layoffs continuing in retail, that's a sign, as you say. Are the layoffs also reaching into the franchises, especially the fast food franchises? And is that story also including the use of robots or automated services? Is that going on at the same time?
You see more automation that's coming into that business, but you still have huge problems with worker shortages in the hospitality industry in general. Wages are up $16, $18, $22 per hour to work at the local QSR in many cases, but there's still a worker shortage. The challenge in a very weird way is that at certain points of the economy, you still have worker shortages, not because they're not high wages, but people simply don't seem to be motivated to work in many categories. So there's still shortages in those areas, or at the top in tech especially, you're seeing excesses and large layoffs happening week in, week out. That will probably accelerate both in tech and in the retail sector in the next 2 weeks as we're into the new year.
The supply chain. I mentioned the human supply chain, getting a cappuccino, or the people who sell cappuccinos not finding customers. The larger supply chain question, however, the global one, has to do with East Asia. And we move now to anecdote and reporting out of China about the variant sweeping China and the statistics that are entirely unreliable because they're official statistics. And then all you can do is gather anecdotes from around the country. Right now, we're told that, to speak generally, China is flat on its back with the variant BA5, BA7. There are various Omicron derivatives, and that is not here. The one that is in the northeast of the U.S. is called XBB. So there's not an even match. I'm not going to try to do epidemiology. I'm just going to pay attention to the supply chain in China. Chris, what got my attention is that two of the cities hit very hard and with grotesque stories, very sad, tragic stories of no crematoriums available, no burials, no decent farewells, the hospitals full, no beds at the hospitals if you get in, no equipment if you get into a bed. All of those grotesque stories, we come to the supply chain to be commonsensical about this. What does it mean for us? Because China's governance is non-transparent and does not serve the needs of its people, obviously, from the hospital collapse. However, the supply chain does attach to the future for us. Ningbo is a major port. Shanghai is a major producer. Are we going to see this human tragedy in China in the coming months, reliving the supply chain twist of 2021?
John, it's extremely likely at this point. Normally in late January, early February, you have downtime in China for Chinese New Year, which is between 7 and 10 days where all manufacturing halts. That's part of the normal process. However, this year you see manufacturers sending people home early. So instead of starting at the Chinese New Year date of the 22nd, you're seeing companies starting to send people home today, tomorrow. They're releasing workers early, which is extremely unusual. That will mean that you'll have at least a one-month gap in production in many of the tech sector cities. And then the real question will be post Chinese New Year, do people come back healthy? Do people come back sick? Or does China go back into some form of very aggressive lockdown? But it is 100% accurate to say China is dealing with a mass wave of COVID, and that will disrupt supply chain coming into the U.S.
And right now we also have this question of people originating their travel from China coming into the U.S. and other parts of the global north, Europe in especial. Are we expecting that to continue, those testing to continue? In other words, is their variant coming here? Is our variant going there? Are those unknowns about for the supply chain?
John, when you have global events like the Consumer Electronics Show, which is happening in Las Vegas starting later this week, and have thousands of Chinese coming in for that particular event, I can't imagine that there are not some that may be carrying the virus from China in and then could be returning to China with variants of the virus that they may pick up here. So I think we're probably just going to have to continue to watch as this moves from pandemic to endemic of different variants, different waves of this happening. But then how do we as an economy globally simply overcome it, manage through it, and keep the wheels in motion? Because too many more economic disruptions, there are many parts of the economy globally that are starting to crack for various reasons, whether it be energy in Europe, whether it be supply chain disruption in China. It's incumbent upon all to try to keep this up and moving and together. Otherwise, we're going to have much larger problems.
Last 30 seconds. Recovery in 24, is that still in place, Chris?
Too soon to tell. Until Ukraine and Russia are settled and until China stabilizes, 23 is certainly not going to be particularly bright. 24 is an unknown.
Chris Riegel, CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm. This is The Scholar Report. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.